stranger to controversy. As you know, and no stranger to fame with 9 Grammy Awards, 9 Grammy nominations, 2 awards. What can I say? But she's just simply the best. Janis Ian.
Ready for the war. spitting out the miles. Times when I tried to jump the track, weight of the world upon my back. Still, after all is said and done, this train still runs. It doesn't matter where it's gone. This train still runs. Though the baggage weighs a ton, we carry on. Ain't no one is forever young. We're not done. This train still runs. Had a friend I left behind back at the station. Used to burn the power lines, racing with the wind. For time is the manners of a thief. Young love turns bittersweet. Still we keep that lantern hung. That train still runs. It doesn't matter where it's gone. That train still runs. And though the we carry on, there ain't nothing is forever young. We're not done. This train still runs. Got a ticket in my pocket and I'm ready to ride. I'm gonna travel on the rail to the other side. Sure as the baby loves a teat, sure as the high heel on concrete, sure as the songs I've left unsung, this train will run. It doesn't matter where it's gone. This train will run. This train still runs. This train still runs.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Just so, I'm tuning, which I consider part of my job as a folk singer, although there are folk singers who disagree.
You're talking about me.
We tend to be an argumentative lot, folk singers. We have a lot of really enthralling discussions about things like whether it's appropriate to tune on stage, whether you can play the blues standing up, or you have to be seated. Whether you can be white and play the blues, that's been an ongoing discussion. Much less female, God forbid, you know.
Through. want to see weak love to grow. Then I'll live for you and decide for you to buy up all your rights and all your wrongs. And they'll try and stop your singing in the middle of your song. For they do not want you free. Will I make you strong, but only drag you down in the home they're coming from? They say you are foolish for wanting the savage. They call you selfish for learning to run. I'll tell you that the darkness is a blessing in disguise. You never have to notice. If you say to die, you're blind, and they'll do their best to keep you from the light. You're more than me, learning to fly. Feel like falling, but it passes in time. I hate to see a friend without a face, without a song. Somewhere by the doorway, I will not linger long. I'm leaving by night, I'm leaving alone. Leaving your light, when you wake and I'll be gone. Thank you. with Jesse. All the way from Jersey. So I used to get into these monumental arguments with people about the blues. You know, that was when I was 15 and they knew what I was talking about. And Dave Van Lock and I once got into a big argument. You know, he was a pretty famous blues singer, still is. And we got into this argument at the Philadelphia Folk Festival over whether you could sing the blues and be young like I was, or whether you had to be elderly. And whether you have to be black or you could be white, or in my case from New Jersey, which I thought served a lot of purposes. And we really went at it for 3 days, and we gathered quite a crowd around us. And then the third day, Reverend Gary Davis, who was an old, blind, black gentleman who sang blues, came walking by, and Dave Van Ron said, "Look, here's Gary. Gary is certainly authentic. Gary's from the Delta. Gary's probably been in prison. He's a preacher now. Let's ask him what he thinks." So Dave pulls Gary over, and Gary comes up, and he listens to the argument. And Dave says, "So, do you think you'd have to be black to play the blues?" And Gary says, "Nah, he thought it was all right that we were white." And then Dave says, "Well, you know, do you think you can be young and play the blues?" And Gary says, "Well, he didn't think it much mattered if you were young or you were old." And Dave and I turned away, figuring that we had both won the argument, and Gary said, "But he did think it would be good for both of us to be blind." So, this song is for them. You come to my door, baby. Your face is clean and shining like a snake. My mama went to answer your
Los Angeles, and I had to learn to jive when I was 20. So I learned to jive, got my learner's permit, and then I got my license, and I was totally stoked. But I had no car. So I called all my friends, and I said, you know, if you have a car over the weekend, just call me, and I'll drive for you if you have me. So sure enough, 2 months later, my friend Jerry calls, and he says, well, his dad's going away that weekend. He's got this old car that he loves a lot. But Jerry figures that since it's an old car, it won't matter if I drive it for the weekend without his dad knowing. So I, not knowing anything about cars, say, what color is it? And he says, well, it's red. And I thought, hey, hard to go wrong with a red car. So I arranged to pick up the car on a Saturday morning. And I pack a little bag. I pack a little bag, and I've got a little bit of water, because it's L.A., and you never know. And a couple of Snickers, because my kid brother has this theory that you can do pretty much anything with a Snickers. And a box of tissues, because my mom told me that a lady always travels with tissues. I take the bus down to Jerry's house, and I get there, and with my little bag, and a map of L.A. And we go to the garage, and sure enough, the car is red. The car is really cool looking. The car is a convertible. The car is an old Corvette. But I don't know about that stuff. I just think, man, this is a very old car. I wonder why he wastes his time on it when he could probably have a new Volvo or something. And Jared tells me how his dad spends every weekend under the hood of his car cleaning it, doing things to it, lovingly polishing it. So I said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I get in the car, turn on the radio, put the top down. I drive a couple of blocks, and then I suddenly realize that I'm totally responsible for this car. I freak out. I pull over by the side of the road, and I pull out my map. I am what you might call directionally challenged. I have a problem with north and south. Right now I know that I am to the right and down from Nashville, and that's about the extent of my geography. So I pull out the map, and I see this huge empty space off to the right. So I think, cool, I'll go there. Nobody to hit. So I take off down the highway toward the desert. I'm driving along. It's about 10 o'clock. I drive for a couple of hours, get totally away from any signs of humanity. I'm in the desert, and the car once in a while makes this really funny noise, but I don't listen. I've been in therapy. My therapist has told me, ignore inappropriate behavior. So I just continue driving. Once in a while, I say something nice to the car. You know, you never know. Driving along, driving along, driving along. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, but I've got the roof down. The Beach Boys are playing on the radio, so I'm pretty happy with myself. I see this big depression in the road ahead. They didn't cover that in driving school. So I figure it's got to be like when you're on a bicycle. You know how when you're on a bike, if you see a big hole in the road, you speed up? And then you kind of jerk the top, and it just sails right over it. So I floor the pedal of this car, this V8 engine. The whole front of the car goes cocoon and butts up, and we go sailing over this big depression. And I think that rocked as the front of the car hits the ground. But the back of the car doesn't follow, and the whole car goes boom. And it stops. So I get out, and I stand by it, and I go, huh. Now, my theory of mechanics, and this may not be the appropriate show to say it at, but my personal theory of mechanical things is, you get a guy. You better get anyone but me, because my knowledge of mechanics begins and ends here. So I look at the car, I say nice things, I get back in, try it again, doesn't start. I get out, and I vaguely remember seeing on ships that when people break down on the highway, they put the front of the car up. So I put the hood up, and I stand there and I wait for something to happen. Nothing happens. So I look under the hood, and under the hood is so dirty, I'm appalled. And I'm saying to myself, you know, Jerry's father spends a lot of time on this car. Why didn't he clean it? There's all these hoses and stuff covered with black grime. So I think to myself, hey, if I was a car and I was this dirty, I would feel very bad about it. So I go back and get my Kleenex and the water. I pour some of the water onto the car. There's this huge cracking sound, but
oh, no.
I ignore it.
Oh, no.
I take my Kleenex, I wet them down, I start to clean off the hoses. The car is coming up really nicely, shiny. And I think, you know, Jerry's father is just going to love me for this. Here I have cleaned his engine and everything, the engine block. Had this big white space where it could breathe now. I thought, oh, this is great. I run upon this big round thing that says twist. I think, cool. So I reach the twist and I can't turn it. It won't move. So I think, huh, this is obviously a problem. Someone got in here who didn't know what they were doing, and they tightened this thing way too much, and now the car can't breathe. So I get a Snickers bar, and I start to lubricate it with the chocolate, which, by the way, they work great for that. I'm lubricating away, and it starts to give a little bit as I turn it. So I'm turning really, really hard. And finally it starts to give, and I can hear this little bit of steam escaping, and I think, great, I'm right. Listen to this car relax. Suddenly, the thing starts turning itself.
Oh, no.
It flies off into the air. It lands about 20 feet away on a dune. This green stuff starts bubbling out everywhere.
Oh, no.
And I fall back thinking, I've killed the car. The car is bleeding. I have no idea what you do at this point. But obviously, Jerry's father is not going to be thrilled with me. I close the hood. I sit down by the side of the road to await rescue. And I wait. And I wait. And around about 9 o'clock that night, I have a revelation. I understand why all of the world's great religions were invented in the desert. And this came from that. And then the axle broke. I barely had time to work up a sweat when my four Corvette went up in smoke. I was glued to the seat, I was dying of the heat. Then the water jug spilled right onto the desert sand. said, do what you will. And there was a voice from the dunes in the noonday sun. Well, she handed me a pamphlet. She said, make sure you read it. And she started back the way she had come. It said, outside back. Whenever I told her I wanted to leave, she'd get so mean. She'd peel the paint off a Cadillac. Wait a minute, I said, I don't recall being dead, though I am white as a ghost. She looked me right in the eye, said, you think I'm alive, but maybe God only knows. And that's the thing I love about the blues. You can't predict who it is gonna choose, but it's an honor that you really can't refuse. Welcome to Acousticville. I got a tape of that when I was living in Los Angeles, and I thought, oh, I'm in a song. What a cool thing. It's like when they used it 17 on The Simpsons, and I went, I'm on The Simpsons! Is this cool or what? Almost as good as I wrote this song, somebody asked me earlier today what my inspiration was, and it's always hard, but I can truthfully say that, I wrote this song because I had to wear a gym uniform. Thank you.
times that never came, and those whose names were never called, when she's in sights for basketball. It was long ago and far away, and the world was younger than today, when dreams were all they gave for free to ugly duckling girls like me. We all play the game, and when we dare, we cheat ourselves at solitaire, inventing lovers on the phone, repenting of the lives unknown. We call and say, come on, dance with me, murmur vague obscenities. Lovely girls like me at 17.
Desperately trying to sell out. We realize that we've gotten to an age where people may not be buying, but we're still trying. So we're going to be signing stuff over there after my show while the fallopian tubes are getting set up. And you don't have to buy anything to get something signed, except that I no longer sign body parts. I had an unfortunate experience in California with someone on a motorcycle. You need to see more. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
can capture my soul, you can take hold and kill me with a kiss, she said. Take no prisoners, tell no lies, no pretty sounds to compromise.
Means my mother was convinced that Marx wrote the book. And I would say, Mom, he wrote a book called The World Without Jews, and she would go, that was when he was young. It's all right. So I grew up in this whole kind of politically correct atmosphere. And they were always dragging me off to Pete Seeger concerts. Used to make me crazy. And I would argue with them, and I would say, why do I have to sit there and sing along with some guy with a beard and a weird-looking guitar? As I got older, I've come to appreciate what singing together does for a community. So I've been closing with a song and asking friends to join me and asking you to join me. Thanks. Standing by my window on a